Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
There are some well-known words that begin Psalm 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." In it, yes. So that's a scripture I expect most of us are very familiar with. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it. From our earliest days, we have problem with possessions. Imagine two young children. Tommy's a couple of years older than Minnie. And Minnie's just had a birthday. She's playing with her doll's house and all of that kit. And she's been given for her birthday a book on animals by some aunt. And Tommy actually is quite interested in animals, especially these kind of animals, because they're lions and tigers and all that kind of thing. So Tommy picks up Millie's book and begins to read, which evokes a reaction. "That's my book! But I'm only reading it. It's my book! Auntie gave it to me. It's mine. You never even asked if you could look at it. But I'm only looking at it. You play with your silly dolls and I'll read your book. No, no, it's my book. Give it to me. No, I'm only reading. Give it to me. No. Mommy! Tommy won't give me my book." So Mum arrives on the scene, familiar with such scenarios, and says, "What's the matter? What's the matter? Auntie gave me my book for my birthday and Tommy won't let me have it. Well, she was only playing with her dolls and I just want to see it. But it's my book." Well, you have to learn to share. So you play with your dolls and just let Tommy read the book. "But when he reads my book, he gets all his sticky, dirty fingers all over it, and it's a new book, and it's my book." "Tommy, let me see your hand." "Well, his hands are clean for once, so let him read your book, and you get on with your dolls." "Oh, it's not fair." So Mum disappears. Tommy reads the book. Millie's playing with her doll's house. "It's my book." "Well, Mummy said we had to share, but it's still my book. And anyway, if you read my book, I can ride your new bike." "No, no, no, of course you can't ride my bike. Why can't I ride your bike? If you can read my book, I can ride your bike." "Of course you can't ride my bike, that's different." "Why is it different? Mummy says we have to share. You share my book, I can share your bike." "Of course you can't ride my book. Why can't I ride your book?" "Ride your book." "Ride your bike." "Well, it's a boy's bike and you're a girl. That's why." "Well, that's not fair. I can still ride, reach the pedals. I can ride your book. Mummy. I should tell Mummy that you won't share your bike." "You touch my bike and you'll be in big trouble." "Mummy! Tommy says I'll be in big trouble if I touch his..." And so it goes on. Of course, this kind of scenario never happens in your household, but nor in your memory. But you see, right from very early years, our possessions possess us rather than us possessing our possessions. And there's this terrible sort of thing that is deeply embedded in our thinking, it's mine. So let's hope that we would grow out of such attitudes. Oh, we shall see. Now, this is Fred. And Fred, he's been to work all week and he's got his wage packet. Now, for the simplicity of mathematics, for all of us who did not do very well at GCSE, he's earned £100. And this is before the days of digital, this, that, and the other, and online banking. So he actually receives a wage packet. Now, is this money now his? See, silence, you don't even know, do you? Has he earned it? So does it belong to the company? Is it his? Okay, so he's got his money that he's earned. Right? We all agree. So, he goes to church. Nobody wears their hat in church. Do they, Mark? No. Good. Oh, we've got a rebel in the front row now. I'll join the rebel. So Fred, from his wage packet, decides he's going to put £10 in the offering. Now, that's his money to give, right? Is that his money to give? Of course it's not. Can't be his. Because the first tenth belongs to the Lord. So he's decided to put the first tenth that belongs to the Lord into the offering. But he decides also that he wants to make an offering himself. So from his own pocket, he puts in another fiver. These are the kind of offerings we had 20, 30, 40 years ago. But there's been inflation since then. So now he's putting into the offering £15, which is the £10 that already belongs to the Lord, and he is acknowledging the fact, and £5, which is his offering. Have we got all that? Yeah. Praise God. So God is going to prosper him, isn't he? Because he's being faithful. Okay, so he knows what belongs to him and what doesn't belong to him. So it seems. Okay, now he's got, who is this guy? I can't remember his name. Fred, this is Fred, okay. Then this is Sid. Now, Sid's Fred's mate. So Fred goes to Sid. And Fred says to him, I want to give you £10. Now, he's already paid his tithe. So is this £10 his to give? He can decide to give it. Okay, so he gives to Sid this £10. Now, does this £10 belong to Fred now or to Sid? You're quick. Must be the weather. Okay, so Fred or Sid? No, Sid. Sid, you're getting me very confused this morning. Sid can choose to do what he likes with this. Now, of course, if Sid is also a believer, he's just received £9. Because one-tenth belongs to the Lord. But he knows that he's free to do what he wants with the £9. Yes? So, who is this guy? Fred. Fred can't say to Sid, I want my £10. Because Sid can say to Fred, it's no longer your £10, you gave it to me. Okay, now, you might think that this is a sermon about money and about tithing. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. That's just a little byproduct. I'm going to finish the verse. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So let's not talk about money. We've used that as a convenient way of deciding what is ours and what is not ours. Let's talk about ourselves as people, because the scripture says the world is the Lord's and all who live in it. Well, I live in the world, you live in the world, so we are the Lord's property. We could say that although Fred gave the tithe of his £100. I mean, there wouldn't have been £100 in the wage packet, would there? Because tax and insurance and everything would have been deducted. But his tithe was of his income, not what he received in the wage packet. So he was faithful in giving the tithe. But he would also, if he was a believer, acknowledge that all that was in the wage packet belonged to the Lord. That he had to give the first tenth because the Lord claimed that for himself. But he was a steward of the rest, however much is left after tax and insurance and so on. So he understood his responsibility to steward the rest of the money in the way that would glorify the Lord. He would use it in the right way, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, including the whole of his wage packet, right? But the world belongs to him and all who are in it. So he's a steward not just of his money, he's a steward of his life. So he has to begin with the premise, I belong to the Lord. Now, if he belongs to this premise, if he begins with this premise, I belong to the Lord, he cannot belong to himself. You see, that money was either Fred's or Sid's. If Fred had given it, he had to acknowledge that that was no longer his. Now it was Sid's. And therefore, Sid had the right to do with it as he chose. So, if you have given your life to the Lord, let's say that that £10 now represents your life. And Sid represents the Lord. You give that life over to the Lord, it's now his. You're not just acknowledging that the first tenth of what you earn is his, you're acknowledging that you are his. Your life is his. You belong to him. So if that is the truth, then he has the perfect right to do with what is his as he chooses. When Fred gave Sid the £10, Fred could not criticize Sid for the way he used the money because he'd given it away. So we've never got any complaint against God about what he chooses to do with us. I mean, if we start complaining, that's rather being a bit like those squabbling kids. Huh? Minnie wanting to hold on. It's mine! It's mine! It's mine! God says, no, 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 no. Your life isn't yours. It's mine. I actually paid for it with the blood of my son. I didn't just claim that you were mine because I'm God. I actually purchased you, bought you for myself with Jesus when he gave his life for you. Now, if we believe that, then not only do we not have any cause for complaint as to what God does with us, but we also have to understand that the one who possesses us is love. And the love of God seeks the highest good of those he loves. So if I acknowledge, this is my life now, if I acknowledge that I've handed my life over to him, I know that he will always seek the highest good for my life. Now, I live in a world that does not seek my highest good. There are other people in the world who do not seek my highest good. There's a devil who doesn't seek my highest good. But God will always seek my highest good. Amen? So in the midst of all these adverse circumstances, which don't necessarily seek my highest good, I have God who promises me in his word that in all things, he will work for my good. Why? Because I love him, and I've demonstrated my love for him by giving my life to him, because I love him. That's only a response to his love for me. I can only love because he first loves me. But he seeks my highest good because in all things he works for my good because I love him and I have been called according to his purpose. So when I handed my life over to him, it was because he called me and he said, I want you to know that you are mine. You see, this is the difference, isn't it, between being a Christian and not. God owns every person in Horsham. All the people in the world are His. But He has called and chosen certain people that He's set apart to know that they belong to Him, and therefore to live as if they belong to Him. So, of course, when Fred puts his tithe and his offering in to the offering, what he's really doing is not just making a financial transaction. He's acknowledging, I'm the Lord's, and He's my God. He's my Father, and He cares for me. And as I am faithful in the giving of my life to Him, He will always be faithful in how He deals with me and oversees my life and seeks my highest good. So it's really a transaction of faithfulness. Faithfully giving to the Lord, knowing He is always faithful in giving back His good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But as we said a little while ago, this is much more than about money, because just as we are stewards of everything that goes in the envelope, so we're stewards of everything that we think we possess. For example, my wife and I live in a house which is in our name. But of course, it's not our house. It is the Lord's house. We don't think of it as our house. We think of it as the Lord's house. My wife drives a car. I drive a Mercedes. Both happen to be in my name, but they're not my cars. They're the Lord's car, because I acknowledge that everything in the world belongs to Him. So we are stewards of that house, that it is used in the way that God wants it to be used. We're stewards of those cars. It's not my car, our house. It's all the Lord's, isn't it? This is the day the Lord has made. Now, we say that, you know, it sounds a nice sort of thing to say, this is the day the Lord has made, even learn to sing it. But actually, you see, there's a profound truth. If this is the day the Lord has made, the day belongs to the Lord. So what you do with the day, how you steward the day, belongs to the Lord. In other words, we are responsible to Him for how we use our time. Time is a gift, isn't it? Each day is a gift. The older you get, the more you realize that. So we are stewards of our time, stewards of our property, stewards of our money, stewards of our bodies. Even our bodies don't belong to the Lord. You are not your own, the scripture says. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Not present your heart. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So it's not even my body, it's His body. And He has claimed it as His body by making it a temple of the Holy Spirit. His temple. where his presence resides. So I have a great responsibility, because when I finally come face to face with Jesus at the time of judgment, he's going to require me to give an account of my stewardship. And you remember there are a number of parables Jesus taught about that, how the master required the servants to give account of their stewardship. Those that had put what he had entrusted to them to good use, they prospered and they gave abundantly. But the one who buried his gift did not get a good press on the day of judgment. Why? Because he hadn't been a good steward of what God had entrusted to him. So, you know, this attitude that we have towards possessions is going to have eternal consequences. You know, when we're young and so on, we think, what am I going to do with my life? Well, the first thing to recognize is it's not your life. That it is the Lord's, and he has his plan, and he has his purpose for what you call your life. And his plan and his purpose will definitely always be the best. You might try to put some plan of your own into place, and it'll never work. But when you put his plan into a place, then everything works. He oversees what you're doing to ensure that his plan and his purpose for your life is fulfilled. So, praise God. This is one of the most important messages you've ever heard. And the reason why I say that is because the basis of faith in every part of our lives, the foundation of that faith is knowing that you belong to him. Once you know that, not only in your head, but in your heart, it affects the way you think, it affects the way you pray, it affects the way you think about yourself and speak about yourself and those possessions that are entrusted to you. It colors the purpose for which you live every day of your life, because you recognize the tremendous privilege of belonging to God, of being one of those that he has chosen to know that you belong to him, because he has a particular plan and purpose for you. Now, this is the point. For all eternity. You see, his purpose for you is not from now until you die. His purpose is an eternal purpose. So he wants to make sure that what happens between now and when you die is going to serve his eternal purpose, because his eternal purpose goes on for a long time. So that's why the time of judgment will be so important, because if we haven't fulfilled his purpose then, what is going to happen after that? Well, the Lord alone knows. But we don't have to worry about that if our focus now is on doing, being good stewards of our lives, of our bodies, of our time, of those possessions, of the property that is entrusted to us, because we're his. And the great thing is, the Lord looks after his own. He wants to look after everybody, but not everybody is interested in being looked after by God. But the Lord looks after his children. He is the perfect father. And yes, he says share, because it's not yours anyway. You know, my family and I, we lived in community for many years, and community is not just having other people living with you. If you live in community, nothing is your own. You share everything in common. That was a very liberating way to live for many years, to know that you possessed nothing and therefore shared everything. That actually was freedom. You are free from things. But of course, that wasn't the purpose of it. We were living in that way in order to be able to serve the Lord together and to make our corporate life available so that we could share the gospel, share Jesus with other people all over the world. But even if we're not living in community, the same principles of God's word apply to us now as always. This is an eternal truth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Now, you believe that as the foundation of your faith, and what follows? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Possessions can be idols, can't they? They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Those words cropped up several times during faith camp this year. Open the gates, let the King of glory come in. Where does he come in? This King of glory. Where does he come and rule? In the majesty, might, and power that is in his. In those who know the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All the people in it. I am his. And because I acknowledge that, the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty, can live in me and work through me, can live in you and work through you. Wasn't that worth an amen? Let's all stand, shall we? Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you just to be still and quiet. I want you to think. Close your eyes so you're not distracted by anything around you, but I want you to think now. Sometimes we need to think before we pray, because we don't want to pray thoughtlessly. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, not just the first tenth, but everything. Can you thank the Lord that everything, even if it has your name on it, everything belongs to the Lord? If you possess anything that he wouldn't want to possess, you better get rid of it. But everything is the Lord's. Thank him that when you're faithful in paying the tithe, you are acknowledging not just the first tenth, but everything belongs to the Lord. Can you say to him, Lord, I want to be a good steward of everything that you have entrusted to me? You might like to say, Lord, I acknowledge my house is yours, car is yours, whatever property you have is yours, my time is yours, my future is yours, my family is yours, my children are yours. My husband is yours. My wife is yours. All my brothers and sisters in Christ are yours. The world and all who live in it. Lord, I am yours. My body is yours. My mind, my emotions. I surrender my will. Everything is yours. Because I'm yours, I can ascend the mountain of the Lord. I can stand in your holy place with clean hands and a pure heart. I can receive blessing from you and vindication from God, my Savior. I can seek your face and meet with you. I can lift up my head. I don't have to hang my head in shame, because I'm hiding from you or withholding from you what is rightfully yours. I can lift up my head and the King of Glory will come in. The King of Glory will live in me. Thank you, Lord, that the King of Glory is going to reveal himself. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So I thank you, Lord, that you seek my highest good. I know the world doesn't do that. Other people don't necessarily do that. The devil certainly doesn't do that. But you are the Lord, strong and mighty, and you are able to overcome in me and through me everything that does not seek my highest good. That sickness can be overcome, that oppression overcome. Whatever it is, it can be overcome because I'm yours. And in all things, you will work together for my good because I love you and have been called according to your purpose. Who is he this King of Glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Let's just praise Him. Oh, King of Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, we're going to go into communion. Communion is the covenant meal. The basis of covenant is simply this in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the same basis, the Old, the New Covenant. Where the Lord says, you are my people and I am your God. That's what this meal signifies. That's why Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. I am your God. I give myself to you. And actually, we ought to, before we do that, we ought to have the offering. Because always in the history of the church, immediately before the prayer that consecrated the bread and the wine, there was the giving to the Lord, because it signified this. You are my people, and I am your God. So it was always the custom to give, signifying we are yours, and then God giving, I'm yours. So if we get our tithes and offerings ready now, we won't bother to have the music. We'll just give. And let's just focus on the giving. If the pots or whatever can be handed round. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just continue to pray, not just listen. Hallelujah. Just keep in that place of offering. Just realize you're about to have a meeting with your covenant God. You're about to meet Him as you receive the bread and wine. This is a fresh encounter with Jesus. This is my body. This is my blood. And in any encounter, you see, you give and then you receive. That's always God's way. The measure you give is the measure you receive. You reap what you have first sown. You sow a little, you reap a little. You sow much, you reap much. It's God's kingdom principle. But of course, when He gives, it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. This holiday time belongs to the Lord. Isn't it good that the Lord goes on holiday with you? He's even with you when you relax in the sun, when you are pursuing whatever pastime, hobby or whatever. The Lord is still with you. The Lord is concerned for you. The Lord is concerned about what you're doing. There's no part of your life in which He cannot share, because He lives in you. So let's just pray now as we come to the Lord's table. Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son and you gave your Son. And thank you that every time we come to your table, this reminds us of the complete sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That He gave Himself wholeheartedly, everything, spirit, soul, body, everything He poured out for us. He held nothing back. He gave Himself fully and completely that we might have your life. And thank you that you have made us stewards of that life that you have entrusted to us. So we thank you that on the night that He was betrayed, He took bread. When He'd given you thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That is, in remembrance of the complete way in which I have given myself for you and to you. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he'd given you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." What are those sins? Everything we do that does not acknowledge his lordship, that does not serve the King of Glory. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that full and great and wonderful sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you so much, dear Lord, that you held nothing back. And as we come to the table today, may every one of us hold nothing back. But may we truly acknowledge, not only with our lips, but with our hearts and our lives, that we are yours. And everything we have is rightfully yours. So let's receive the gift.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.